Welcome to the World of Warcraft Raidcast with your host, Shroomy, Ariond, and Kung Pao Panda. Today they will discuss PTR patch notes, flex raid, and many more items. For the Horde!
Alright, so Panda, why don't you detail the new raid announcement that is coming to us in 5.4?
Well, the new raid, they're going to be putting in a difficulty level in between looking for raid, LFR, and normal raiding. It's called flex raiding. And the great thing about this raid is you're actually going to be able to bring any number of people between 10 and 25. So, you know, there are a lot of guilds out there that, you know, one of my guilds on Skullcrusher is this way. We have 10 solid people, but we have, you know, some friends, some family members that like to play too. And we'll be able in 5.4 to bring those guys in, raid with them, and just have a better experience.
So if in the same chance one night where you guys don't seem to have all your people, you're having some challenges poking some folks in, and you know of another team that's struggling from the same thing, you can even combine the two and go sort of get more out of your raid night than just calling it or going doing old content, which is really nice in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to promote pugging again. Not pugging that we think of now in the sense of, you know, looking for dungeon or looking for raid where it's just random server people that you're never going to see again. I think it's kind of promotes the sense of community within your server. And that's a good thing to me.
Yeah, I think it will have a positive impact, but as I was reading over the notes as well, it seems that you can not only do it on your server, but you can do it across real ID or battle tag, so you can even throw groups together from off server, as near as I can tell. Now, what are some of the limitations with this? I mean, will we get achievements? Is there like realm first associated with it?
Well, from what I've read, you are going to be able to get achievements. You know, your Glory of the Ogrimmar Raider or whatever that tier is going to be coming in 5.4. So yeah, you will be able to get that. I haven't heard anything regarding like world first and things like that, feats of strength. I doubt those will be in there, but maybe. You know, I don't know at this point.
Yeah. I doubt that feats of strength associated with it are going to be in there as well. The feats of strength, they've kind of handed them out pretty liberally in the past, a couple of tiers, but feats of strength are designed to be impossible. If you don't have a feat of strength and you actually look at that tab, it says players will find achieving these to be nigh impossible, and they kind of want to keep it that way.
Yeah, some of it's debatable. I got some feats of strength that all I had to do was log in to get. But I see where you're coming from with that. Now, let's say I want to go do this flex raid. Is this going to lock me out of normal or even a LFR if it's even still available at that time?
No, and that's another great thing about it. You're going to have three separate lockouts. You're going to be able to do LFR. You're going to be able to do this flex raiding. And then you're going to have your normal heroic lockout, which is nice. But for someone like me who's kind of a completionist, I am going to feel like I'm going to have to do it every week.
I feel the same way.
Yeah, eventually I'll get over it, but for a while I'm going to have to do that.
Yeah, that's a big stake on your plate right there. I mean, three raids. So if I want to try and bite off that much.
It's not even three raids. It's the same raid three times.
Ooh, yeah, good point.
Yeah, I think if it were three separate raids, I'd enjoy it a lot more.
All right. Well, I think most people are. If you're a raider, this is not particularly new news. As soon as it came out, it was all the flavor of the minute, especially in our guild. I'm sure it's been all over your server as well, Arion.
Yeah. Pretty much after the announcement, my raid, we were actually in raid when we heard about it, and we basically went, So nobody has anything to do on Sunday afternoons, right? And at like basically within the hour, we had decided that we were going to team up with one of the other guilds on our server, and we were just going to try and run Flex Raid as quick as possible, like with our, as many people as we could get on Sundays. So we've already mapped out and planned out how we're getting it done.
That's what I was wondering, is like, I wondered how many people, like, as soon as they heard this announcement, were already backroom dealing and making plans.
Oh, yeah. The ability to not have to go 25-man, as well as, not having to go 25-man is huge, because I have 10 raiders, they have 10 raiders. Let's say only 16 of us can actually be there of the 20. We can still go in and do it and get loot for the people that are there, and we're not disadvantaged because certain people can't show up. It's right. A brilliant decision in my eyes. The ability to have flexible raid sizes is awesome.
Yeah, I agree. And I really want to talk about this, because this is something that Panda and I have been discussing at length with the implementation of this, and I think even Ghostcrawler mentioned, and I could be quoting wrong, but I honestly see LFR going away after this. And honestly, in my opinion, it needs to, because people are going to be driven to want to do all that content. It's going to cause increased burnout, in my opinion, if you're trying to do three of the same raid every week. Even if you only do it for a couple of months, you're still going to get really tired of it really quick. I think LFR should go away, or I kind of had an opinion it would probably never happen, but I would love to see LFR turning into a once a patch lockout, where you do it one time, you see it, you're done. You don't go back. You can do normal, or you can do flex raid beyond that. And my reasoning for that is because Blizzard's stance on LFR has always been, well, it's a way for the casual player to see the content. And that's perfectly fine. I don't have an issue with that at all. But why make it a weekly thing with a lockout and a loot lock for somebody that's probably just going to go do it once, for if it's for the casual player? Because no one watches a movie, the same movie, every Tuesday over and over and over again. They watch it once and they're done with it. I mean, LFR's primary role, in my mind, is for people to gear. And it's being phased out. It has no real use other than a place to gear your alts. So I would like to see it become as soon as the expand or the tier, the new patch launches, any toon that wants to go and do it, your character, your alt, whatever, goes through and he can clear the thing. You're locked. You don't go back for the rest of the tier, but you get one piece of gear off of every boss. So you're guaranteed loot. So it'll help you gear up so you can move on to the next level of the raiding. And it's not something you will feel compelled to do every week. You feel like that's a bit of a stretch, or is that reasonable?
I feel like LFR has served its purpose of getting people into raiding, but I think at the same point, it's also detrimented 10-man raiding.
Yes,
people
I agree.
In heroic guilds want to be in heroic guilds. Heroic guilds will always have their niche. They'll always be able to find their recruits. But 10-man guilds, there's very little incentive to join a 10-man guild, and LFR is the reason. And with Flex Raid, it makes, it has to be a group of your friends, so it brings raiding back. It's not better than normal mode raiding, so it's still incentive to raid the 10 and 25 man. And I think it's definitely the step that was kind of what they wanted LFR to be, but LFR didn't end up being, and it's definitely something that, if they use it correctly, is going to be where a lot of the new players cut their teeth on organized raiding for the first time. And I think we're going to see a lot more raiding guilds popping up, even just doing flex and then moving into normal modes, and that's really good. A bigger raiding population is never a bad thing.
That's an interesting point. We were actually looking over some stuff, and I don't want to get too far off base and create a tangent here, but as I was, because I've been spending a good bit of time on the forums, and I found a forum post where an individual used, I believe the site was called WoW Progress, and they pulled all of the rating numbers for raiding guilds that logged essentially one boss kill all the way back to tier 10. And I believe that was the Trial of the Crusader. I could be wrong. I didn't raid
tier 10 would have been ICC.
Was it ICC?
Ice Crown. It would have been Ice Crown Citadel, Lich King.
Okay, okay. And it was very eye-opening because this person was posting numbers from essentially just the raiding guild population at that time for about 20 servers. And the numbers of raiding guilds for ICC were like 4,000 to 5,000 per server. And it fluctuated up and down, but on average. And then it showed what the raiding population was now on each of the servers, and it was literally quoting, and this is, you know, a representation coming off of a site that tracks this stuff, of everybody, almost every server was losing anywhere from 70 to 90% fatality rate of their guilds. These are guilds that are just cropping up at the end of the expansion when raiding is, as most people would agree, easy. There's plentiful amount of raiders. They crop up, and then the next patch hit, and then they just die out. But the trend, as it showed from the Lich King to Kata to where we are now, it's, I mean, that number is becoming larger and larger, the amount of fatalities. I think the Flex Raid will apply a decent Band-Aid to that. In my opinion, I would hope that it'll stop the tide of, I don't need to do 10-man raids anymore, I can just do LFR, as you were saying. Promote the amount of community that we really need to see in WoW. Because if our community continues to die, I feel like raiding will continue to die and the game will continue to slowly dwindle to the point where it won't be able to sustain itself, in my opinion. It'll be a slow, long thing that we'll see for a while, but the trip from here to there will be miserable for the raiding community.
Yeah, I kind of agree. And to jump on that point, another feature coming in 5.4, at least slated to come, is called Virtual Realms. And what this is going to do is...
Yeah, explain that to me, because I've not been able to read up on it. And it makes me a little nervous just hearing about it.
Yeah, I'll quote directly from the 5.4 PTR coming soon post on the forums. Okay, virtual realms are sets of realms that are fused together and will behave exactly as if they were one cohesive realm. Players on the same virtual realm will be able to join guilds, access a single auction house, join arena teams and raids, as well as run dungeons or group up to complete quests. What this tells me is that they are, you know, combining servers without actually moving people.
That just sounds like they're just taking the cross realm thing that they implemented back in the beginning of Pandaria and just kind of taking it to the next level.
At the same point, it still creates like, oh, I'm on this server, but I'm part of this virtual realm. And so the concept that I'm able to invite people, because I'm on a fairly low pop server, so I'm pretty sure I'm going to have my server's going to be virtual realmed. Am I going to be able to invite somebody from, like, I don't know, say like Skull Crusher or something, and then on my guild roster it says like blah 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 Skull Crusher, kind of like it does in LFR when you chat? Like, I wonder how that's all going to work. Are they part of my guild? Are they not part of my guild?
Yeah, you'll be able to join guilds and everything. I think it's going to be something like battle groups. You know, all of the realms in a certain battle group are going to be fused together to essentially create this one massive realm. There is one other bullet point that says players belonging to the same virtual realm will have a hashtag symbol next to their name. So, you know, kind of like the cross realm zones have an asterisk with the next to the server name. I think it's going to be kind of the same thing. But it sounds like you're going to essentially be on the same realm, just with a different realm battle tag.
Well, I mean, how far does this extend? Am I going to be sharing the same auction house with five or six other realms? Am I going to be sharing my trade chat with five or six other realms?
Yeah.
This could get tricky in a hurry.
It could, but what I think it promotes is especially for those low pop servers, it's going to give you a much better economy. There's going to be a lot more crafters and things like that posting on the auction house. It's going to be a lot more supply. You're going to see just in general a better economy and probably a better community just because there's more people.
That's debatable. But I'm not opposed to having more access to people, as I'm sure you share in my opinion. The server that we're on, as far as access to people, is extremely limited. On the same token, it's good because whenever I go to trade chat, there's not a whole lot of the obnoxious trolling. Yeah, there's not a whole lot of that. There's none of the... I guess I'm going to test the limits on our clean tag here, but none of the anal games. You don't see that sort of business.
We
get to enjoy a very clean realm, and I'm pretty sure if we get picked for that consolidation, that's going to go away.
Yeah, that is going to. I would agree. That's going to go away pretty quick. If anybody has been to Illidan, in Illidan's trade chat, you can buy everything. To the point where you can buy prepaid Visa cards in Illidan's trade chat. You can buy game time. Most servers have people that sell game time anyway. I don't know what Blizzard's feeling is about that, but it does happen.
It's not a good thing. You will get banned for that.
Yeah, I wonder how much that's just going to promote more people doing things like that. Like, I don't want my server's trade chat to be Illidan's trade chat. Trade chat, you can't read it. Your post is gone.
That's what I was going to say. You can find all those things if you can read it. Because I go there from time to time on a level 1 if I want to do a like a tier 14 cross realms run. I used to go there a lot, and I would pug in with a group for there. But I would have to literally scroll down line by line to read what was going on because it would scroll so fast.
I wonder if they're going to add, you know how they have like 1 is general, 2 is trade, and 3. I wonder if they're going to add a channel that is realm.
Or like a filtering system where you can decide.
Yeah, like an additional filter.
Yeah.
Because they're going to have to do something where you can see people that are only on your realm or people that are on your virtual realm and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see how they do it. It's a change I'm excited for, though. Like I said, more access to raiders, more access to raiding guilds is never a bad thing for me, at least.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Yeah, I can see your points with the trade chat and stuff like that. Me personally, I have not turned trade chat on in 6 or 7 years because I come from at one point high pop server, and it was horrendous. So I don't even think of that negative for you guys.
Yeah, I used to play on Tichondrius, so... You know, I understand why how trade can devolve very, very quickly. Pretty much one comment, for those people that haven't experienced this, one comment of someone will link an achievement, or God forbid somebody links Thunder Fury, the Blessed Blade of the Windseeker, will disrupt your server's trade chat for hours.
Yes, it will.
Hours, like, to the point where I've had people, like, after raid... say something in trade, and it's devolved trade chat to the point where I log on the next day after going to bed, and they're still talking about that topic.
Oh, yes.
So hours can be lost of production, and anything that you post, it's like, I want to buy this item, I'm looking for this pug, I need a pug for this, is just completely lost in the spam and trolling that is trade chat.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be something Blizzard will have to be very careful with. My opinion. So let's move on to the announcement of the tier sets, or more or less, I don't know if this was an announcement or something that MMO Champion managed to data mine, but they've released the tier sets for pretty much every class, and my jaw hit the floor whenever I was looking over these.
Yeah, my hands went up in excitement when I saw the tier bonuses. Basically, players are going to be super, super powerful. To the point where it's going to be amazing.
Which one really jumps out for you, Arion, that you're, I'd say, you're without a doubt looking forward to?
Probably the change to Prop Paladin. I don't play a Prop Paladin, but my off-tank is a Prop Paladin, and the amount of ridiculousness that Prop Paladins can do right now, just their damage output and their healing and their just like pure survivability is getting buffed, and that to me is awesome because they're going to be able to one-tank more fights than they were before, and for when you're progressing, if you're able to drop a tank for a true DPS, it's just amazing. You can do so much more. Your damage output is so much higher. And when your tank is topping the damage meters and topping the healing meters, it's basically like the coolest thing ever. Especially if you are that tank that's just like making all the DPS look bad and all the healers look bad, you feel really powerful, which is really nice as a tank. To go from I get punched in the face to I actually hit really, really hard and heal myself, it's a nice change to be top of the meters, not bottom of the meters.
Well, from a DPS perspective, I don't think it's that awesome when a tank beats me, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, it's a strange place to be, honestly. It's, in my opinion, unprecedented that Blizzard has gone in this direction, and I honestly feel more like they never intended this. They almost backed themselves in the corner with this situation based on the fact that the numbers have become so just over the top high. I mean, if you just mouse over the Lightning Emperor's handguards, which is the tanking gloves, I mean, you have 1,500 strength and almost 2,500 stamina. I mean, numbers are becoming ridiculous.
Yeah, that's on a piece of you said that's hands.
Yeah,
that's pretty much more stats than you are ever able to get on a full set of gear in one item.
Yeah, it's the numbers are becoming skewed to where they're having to kind of borrow from Peter to pay Paul situation.
Yeah.
I wish they would just go ahead with the flattening of the numbers that they had intended to do back. They were first discussing it at the tail end of CATA, and why it's not implemented now, I don't understand.
The renormalization.
Yeah.
For those people that aren't so heavy in the theory crafting, basically what the renormalization will do is in the next expansion, if the numbers continue at this rate, you're going to be getting chest pieces that have 25,000 stamina on them to compensate for like the level scaling and everything, and it's going to get to the point where your tanks are having 2 to 3 million HP, which is just an outrageously high number that it doesn't need to be. Number scaling is always, it's always going to increase, but at the rate it's increasing, it's just going to increase too fast, and you're going to be having to deal with things that they're just, Blizzard's going back in and nerfing things with, you know, not even like the nerf bat, the nerf chainsaw of death, where it take, you know, you've seen specs get nerfed into the ground, you're now talking about entire classes getting nerfed into the ground when their class gets renormalized. It needs to happen soon.
Yeah, and taking the note of nerf, I was looking over some of the PTR notes, and the Warlocks are up in arms.
Oh, man.
You've seen the changes to, what is it, Kill Jaden's Cunning and the Wrath of Mannoroth, I believe it's called. I'm probably saying that wrong.
Yeah.
Mannoroth's Fury, yeah.
I looked on, I read the 5.4 PTR post, and I made the mistake of reading like three comments down at the bottom. Everyone was a Warlock saying, Blizzard's gonna lose my subscription. I hate this game. This change can't happen. And I'm just like, holy crap.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Warlocks got their much needed spotlight all through most of this expansion. They needed to be buffed and shined up. They deserved it.
They got their green fire.
Yeah, they were OP. They were brought back as a top tier class. You know, the pure DPS classes, they sat on top. They still do. I mean, mages have to be extremely competitive to go to run with a very well played Warlock and geared Warlock. And now they get to taste the nerf battle a little bit. That was coming. I don't know why people are upset about it. I honestly want to side with the Warlocks. They were so underplayed for so long. They deserved the full light of the expansion, in my opinion. This was too soon. But even saying all that, I feel like a well-played Warlock will not feel this buff massively. If you remember back in Kata, everybody complained how terrible a warlock was. Well, back when you and I were raiding together, Arion, a mutual friend of ours played a warlock during our raid, and he quite often topped the meters playing a class that was considered to be undervalued. And it kind of just goes back to, I believe a class can be as good as the player that plays it. And even though they've nerfed warlocks, they won't suffer that much if you play it well.
I'd agree with that. The looking at the two changes basically fix the two problems that make, or they're not problems, the two things that warlocks are able to do that makes them very, very strong this tier. Right now, warlocks are able to completely keep their rotation up while on the move. They move slightly slower, but they still move fast enough to get to point A to point B before being at point A will kill them. That, no other class can do that. They're the only class that can do that. They keep all of their damage up on the move. The other change being their AoE has like a 500% range, which basically means they're going to hit everything in the room and do a lot of damage. As a raider and a raid leader, I've seen our warlocks do something to the tune of 1.7 million DPS on certain bosses and certain trash pools in Throne. That's ridiculous that they're able to do that and sustain 1.7 million DPS when everyone else is sitting at like maybe pulling 125.
Yeah.
1,000.
An impressive burst is like 200,000 to 300,000 DPS. I mean, that number is, it in my opinion, it should not exist in the game at this point.
It really shouldn't. When a raiding guild is basically, when it comes down to my decision to help kill a boss, is I need to drop my three ranged players and make them play warlocks because warlocks are that broken. The game should never come to that. It's you should bring the player, not the class, and this is just balancing the warlocks back to where everyone else is. And yeah, the warlocks had their high horse or whatever, and they're going to be upset about it. But honestly, it's been a long time coming. Like, if they didn't see this change coming, I question whether or not they've been noticing what they've been doing to players.
Yeah, I think they'll probably continue to top the meters in a lot of cases. You know, they just won't be blowing everyone out of the water.
Yeah, there's a difference between being on top of the meters, like being number one, and then being number one while doing twice as much damage as number two.
Yeah, I agree. And besides, I mean, if you take the time to look at all the different classes set bonuses, Warlock's not exactly left wanting their 2-piece set bonus and 4-piece set bonus is quite impressive. They're not gonna. I don't think they're gonna notice it as much as they might think, especially if they get geared properly and play their class well.
Well, they rarely notice it as much as they might think. Isn't that the case?
Yeah. There's been only just a very few times when a class got nerfed, and it literally crippled the class.
Yeah. And it's mostly healers. Healers feel nerfs way more than everybody else. DPS will. I mean, I guess if they removed an ability that was like, I don't know, warlocks can no longer use corruption or something, you'll feel it. But these changes just mean they're going to have to press a button once every, minute and a half, and they're only able to do their crazy burst for 15 seconds as opposed to the full 4 to 5 minute duration of a fight. The warlocks that are going to be upset are the ones that... They're the people that switch class to be whatever is the most overpowered every patch, and those people are just going to be upset about it until they find what's the new OP.
It's so amazing. I was literally going to say that very thing. They're the people that dropped their rogue at the end of Dragon Soul, that had dropped their fire mage at the end of tier 12.
Exactly.
Yep.
To go play the new hotness. Yeah, you're exactly right. I agree 100%. So let's move on. There's been some new profession changes coming out, and I'm just gonna lay down on the sword of whiny crybaby. I hate profession changes. If it's not broke, don't fix it. So there'll be new cooking to learn. There'll be new blacksmithing patterns to learn. There'll be new engineering to do. Is any of this look extremely useful to any of you guys?
I mean, like the blacksmith thing, it, from the sounds of it, it's going to be one of those things you craft it daily, like you do now with the living steel ingot, and you're going to learn a recipe. So it's not really that difficult, in my opinion. I like adding cooking things. I actually enjoy the cooking profession. But I'm kind of on the outside of that, I know.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too, but it got to a point, especially these last probably month, where it just became really redundant. And I just only did it because I had to, not because I felt compelled to.
Yeah, I am really interested to see what exactly, like some of these noodle cart kits, I'm looking forward to seeing what they are. You know, if they add a new element to it, more than just, hey, here's five buff food that takes a ton of mats, it's going to cost you a ton of gold or a lot of farming time. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm optimistic now.
That's interesting. Now, I'm also... Yeah. Go ahead, Ariel.
I tend to lean towards more is better. More items to craft, more vanity items, all that is all good. Where I tend to get, I don't know, kind of, I wouldn't say upset, but kind of peeved, is when it becomes super, super time investing for very little gain, but the gain is almost required. Like the cooking in order to get like the feasts for your raid took me like 2 weeks to farm up all of the mats and then get all those done. That's a little extreme because I was trying to get them as soon as possible. But the super time investment is the thing that I don't like. More materials and more crafting patterns and everything, that's all fine. It's the don't make the time investment weeks on end. Especially like with the blacksmithing, in order to get the reborn weapons, I believe it takes you 27 days of doing your research, your ingot every single day. That's a little bit long to be investing in one item,
right,
in my opinion.
Well, the weapons you actually got, you got the patterns when you got the quest item. But yeah, you're right. You had to learn, in order to learn the PvP gear, you had to do the daily every day. And it takes, I'm still learning it on my leather worker, and I've been doing it since that stuff dropped.
Yes, I'm the same way. Like, some classes or some, not classes, professions get their things done really, really quickly. Tailoring to be a prime example, and then other ones are left kind of out in the cold. Where we're two, three months since that stuff came out, and we're still required to do it every day in order to for the completionists, and other people were done within 2 weeks.
Yeah. I think that's probably why I kind of latched on to tailoring in the beginning, because it took very little work and I was able to get massive returns from it. I've made a considerable amount of gold doing almost nothing. While I agree some of the other professions just are nothing but a giant time sink and gold sink as well. But the biggest thing that really excites me about all of this is the backwards compatibility of enchants that they're allowing us to do on, say, like heirloom gear. I guess you could do it on lower level gear if you wanted to spend that much of the resources, but be able to throw a cataclysm level enchant on heirloom gear now and watch it scale along with your gear is going to be rather impressive. It's only going to make you stronger.
Yeah, that's a change that's been a long time coming since they introduced the scaling BOA gear. Basically, it just makes your leveling all that much faster. I don't know how useful that is nowadays, because most people have all of the classes that they want, and the heirlooms cost so much time investment to get them all for new players that don't even necessarily know about the heirloom. But it is a nice change to see the lower level. I know a lot of people do like level 70 twinks and like to level just different race combinations and everything. You know, leveling's not where this game... the meat of this game is. The meat of this game is at cap level, and getting to cap level faster is not bad.
Yeah, well, I guess it kind of, well, to me, it opens doors, because I know I mostly play healers or tank classes, because I just don't enjoy the grind for the pure DPS classes. It takes longer to get 85, in my opinion, unless you're willing to quest, which I'm not willing to do. I'm just too lazy, but... every time I re-roll a new tank or a new healer for at least the first 25 levels, if I'm a healer, I don't need to heal. I'll queue as a healer and then just DPS the whole time. The tank, unless he's in just the worst gear possible, he doesn't need me to heal. If I'm playing a tank, I'll tell the healer just up front, you know, if you're in Rage Fire Cataclysm or those early dungeons, I don't need you to heal, just DPS. And I think it'll probably extend that door even further just because you're even more powerful. So you probably can even get to the point where I don't even need to queue into a dungeon. I can just run down to a dungeon and solo thing myself.
And the one thing that was really, I'm glad they did this because there were enchants, you know, lower level enchants that you could put on these things, but they were, you know, hit and miss. Like, you'd have to do some research and find out which ones would work and which ones wouldn't work. And so I really like that they're just, you know, saying, hey, blanket statement, everything's going to work.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought of it in that perspective because, yeah, you're right. Back in certain content, certain enchants just, they didn't even exist. So their buff was just negligible.
Yeah, I think they started putting eye level requirements on enchants, maybe in Wrath. I know in Cataclysm.
Definitely in Cataclysm.
Yeah, so, you know, it was just kind of hit or miss. And, yeah, going back and getting some of those enchants, if they weren't trainer learned, is just a pain. And I've never enchanted a single piece of my heirloom gear for that reason. And now I probably will.
Yeah, it's definitely a nice, just change to make life easier.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's not going to be a make or break type thing. Just something you can do extra to make your character a little more powerful. And I agree with you. I have, I believe, 5 level 90s today, and then like a level 88 hunter. And I don't see myself leveling any more alts because, I mean, well, the way the game is set up today, I can't play all of my 90s. Productively in my mind now, why would I bother to level more characters? But if the option ever became available where I could do more with them, this will just make life easier.
Yeah, I hope that's something they change in the next X-Pack, but that's a whole different discussion.
Oh, yeah. Any predictions on our next expansion, Jim?
We're going to deal with the Burning Legion again, similar to the way we did in Burning Crusade. The demons, the Burning Legion being all of the conglomerate of demons that are trying to like take over the world. We've dealt with the Titans a lot, the Titans and the Old Gods the past couple of expansions, being Ulduar, Deathwing was, you know, corrupted by the Old God, Yogg-Saron, even this tier dealing with like the Shaw. Those that have done the Shaw quest know that the Old Gods are involved with the Shaw. We need to get back to that old enemy of being the demons, the Burning Legion fighting against the Titans. We've learned a lot about the Titans and everything, so I think it's just about time that the Burning Legion sticks its head in and takes over our fire and makes us remember.
I would be down for that. How do you think Wrathion will even tie into that or be relevant for that?
Yeah. If you've done the Legendary Quest, he talks about the Burning Legion. That's kind of why I believe it's going to be the Burning Legion. He shows Azeroth as a planet, and then he shows giant infernals, like meteorite, like planet-sized infernals dropping out of the sky onto Azeroth. And he talks about how the original enemy is the Burning Legion. And I don't know, Wrathion, to me, he says he's the last Black Dragon, but we know he's not. He says he's uncorrupted. But he's kind of crazy. He's really, really powerful. Like, he makes your legendary daggers for the rogues, your legendaries, all through Pandaria. And I think there's a lot going on in that little guy's head that we haven't really figured out yet, especially considering he's, like, a 3-year-old dragon. So I don't know what he's going to do when he goes through puberty, but his temper tantrums are going to be amazing.
I believe he's going to flip on us.
Yeah.
Well, so just kind of touching on that really quickly, how are you progressing with your legendary quest? I think you said you were about halfway into the last part.
Yeah, I'm collecting Titan Runestones still. Blizzard actually posted about Titan Runestones having a really, really low drop rate and being kind of ridiculous to the point where this week for this reset, they changed the drop rate on Runestones as well as making Lai Xin give you a guaranteed runestone. Last week, I killed all 12 bosses in Throne of Thunder as on normal as well as in LFR. So that's 24 bosses, and I got a grand total of 0 runestones. So I'm still at 6 of 12.
Oh,
wow.
If you can't tell, I'm a little upset by that because I wanted my I want my eye level 600 back piece as yes. well as to start the next part of the quest. That story is just amazing. I love everything to do with it. Rathian's like you've probably noticed. I like Rathian. He's kind of cool.
Yeah, I do too. That whole quest line has been extremely entertaining.
But yeah, I'm still at 6 of 12.
Yeah. Because I remember last week when we discussed that you were anticipating finishing that within the next 2 weeks, and I really didn't want to rain on your parade at the time because I had been looking over a lot of the forums, and there were many, many posts and forum threads just being created specifically about that, and people were literally just reciprocating what you just said. Like, they would clear everything 2-3 weeks in a row, and they would see, if they were lucky, one Titan runestone.
Yeah, it was so weird because the drop week rate was prior, I got 5. And so that's why I was like, yeah, I should be done within 1 or 2 weeks. And then I got 0. So it's kind of like, make up your mind, Blizzard.
Yeah, the drop rate is obviously broken on that and needed some attention.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't gotten that far yet. I've got 8 of 20 of the Secrets of the Empire, so I'm hoping to get that done at some point soon.
Oh, yeah, that reminds me. I need to go run LFR and attempt to gather my Secrets of the Runestones as well.
Yeah, the Legendary quest is very... The storyline's very good. The items that you get, the rewards you get are very, very, very worth it. Like I've said before, they're pretty much the biggest... Like, getting your Legendary Metagem is, like, the biggest damage upgrade you can do to your class. Outside of upgrading, like, I don't know, maybe if you upgraded from like a 4-6-3 item level to straight to like a 5-2-8 Thunderforge weapon, you might see that big of a damage increase. But it's just, it's amazing. The storyline, everything about it is amazing. Like, it is legendary because it is legendary.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will argue that the legendary questline feels less legendary because everyone can do it, more or less. But I still believe it doesn't impact the effect that it has on the individual player, because just doing it, I don't care that every other person on my realm is doing it. I know what it's doing personally for my class and how much I've enjoyed it. I like the way Blizzard went with this, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think the definition of legendary in this case has changed from, you know, like the Hand of Rag or Thunder Fury. It's not legendary because it's so rare. It's legendary because it's actually an amazing quest line that is available to anyone.
Did someone say Thunder Fury?
Blessed Blade of the Windseeker? Yeah, I would agree. Legendary used to mean rare. It used to be, you know, legendary. It's rare and it's a legend. You know, there's the legend about the item. Oh my god, it's so rare we don't actually know about it. To now, it's everybody knows about it and it's legendary because of its power. Its power as well as its just the storyline is just, I mean, I hate to use the word epic, but it is epic. It's one of the best storylines Blizzard has crafted.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not a big lore buff as far as the game goes, but that one absolutely sunk its hooks into me. All right, well, we're getting pretty low on time here, guys, so let's wrap this up, unless you have anything else you'd like to add or discuss.
Nope, I'm just looking for more information to come out about the tier sets as well as flex rating. They're all topics that I'm really, really interested in, especially the virtual realm. I was a little bit unsure about it, and the more I think about it, I'm just really excited for more information to come out.
Yeah, same here. I just want to see it.
All right, so next week we have some plans to bring in some of Arion's top-tier class raiders, and they're going to break down some of the fights for us from role-specific perspectives. So you'll get to hear how the healer gets to heal his way through the fights, how the tank gets to tank through the fights, and how the DPS gets to go pew-pew.
Yep, that's the plan. My guys are pretty excited about it. they're excited to get to tell their stories. You know, the individual raiders don't necessarily get their story known of how they get their job done, and so they're pretty excited to get a chance to tell it to everybody.
Well, I am certainly excited to hear it, and I hope our listeners will enjoy it. Arion, how can we keep up with you? How can we follow you, buddy?
The easiest way to follow me is twitch.tv/Arion. Arion being spelled E-R-Y-O-N-D. I stream our raids on Fridays and Saturday nights at 7 o'clock Pacific time, 10 p.m. Eastern. And you'll get to hear my lovely raid-leading voice as I yell at the people when they're not doing their mechanics correctly, and you get to watch us down some pretty cool bosses, have some pretty friendly banter. And if anybody shows up and is in the chat, feel free to ask me any questions and anything you guys want to know.
All right, sounds like a blast. Kung Pao, is there anything you want to pimp real quick?
Yeah, I'm actually on Twitter, at Kung Pao Panda AIE. I have a little fun on there. Usually WoW stuff. I try to keep my personal life, separate. Other than that, in WoW, Kung Pao Panda.
Awesome. All right. Look forward to talking to you guys again, and, have a good one.
We'll see ya.
You too.